In the summer of 1219, scouts reported that the Mongols were approaching the southern end of the Sir Daria River through the Fergana Valley. The Shah sent a large force under the leadership of his son, Jalal ad-Din, to destroy the enemy. After a fierce battle, the Mongols retreated. Jalal ad-Din reported back to his father that the Mongol army was not nearly as fearsome as their reputation. The men looked haggard, their horses emaciated, and they seemed none too eager to sustain a fight. The Shah, believing the Mongols no match for his army, put more troops at the southern end of the cordon and waited. A few months later, a Mongol battalion appeared without warning in the north, attacking the city of Otrar and capturing its governor, the same man responsible for the outrage against the Mongol traders. The Mongols killed him by pouring molten silver into his eyes and ears. Stunned by how quickly they had managed to reach Otrar, and from an unexpected direction, the Shah decided to shift more troops to the north. These barbarians might move swiftly, he reasoned, but they could not overcome an entrenched army with such great numbers. Next, however, two Mongol armies swept south from Otrar, running parallel to the Sir Daria River. One, under General Joshi, began to attack key towns along the river, while the other, under General Jibe, disappeared to the south. Like locusts, Joshi's army swarmed through the hills and lowlands near the river. The Shah moved a good portion of his army to the river, keeping some reserves in Samarkand. Joshi's force was relatively small, 20,000 at most. These mobile units hit one position after another, without warning, burning forts and wreaking havoc. Reports from the front lines began to give the Shah a picture of these strange warriors from the east. Their army was all cavalry. Each Mongol not only rode a horse, but was trailed by several more riderless horses, all mares, and when his own horse tired, he would mount a fresh one. These horses were light and fast. They could travel twice as fast as their enemy. Their marksmanship was extraordinary. Facing forward or in retreat, they could fire arrows with remarkable dexterity, making their attacks far deadlier than anything the Shah's army had ever seen. Their divisions communicated over great distances with flags and torches. Their maneuvers were precisely coordinated and nearly impossible to anticipate.